Hi, everybody. Getting ready for gravy, says Andrew. Nice. There's definitely a balance of too early and just the right time to make sure you aren't wasting time. Good. Social Galactic is pretty cool. Yes, it is. Fly fishing in Alaska is number two on my to-do list. Well, what's number one? I think Fly Fishing in Alaska wants to know what's number one. Hi, everybody. I wasn't going to do a stream today, but I decided to do one because it dawned on me that I haven't shown the homestead life in a while because I can't live stream from my phone. I am learning how to de-live from my phone, Coddington setting that all up. I used to do all these Instagram streams from my phone and sometimes YouTube streams from my phone to show you guys what the majority of my day is like. And there's a lot of beauty in it. And I think it kind of helps put together a lot of pieces for why I talk about what I talk about and kind of the purpose of everything. And I'm drinking coffee again, one addiction at a time. I don't think I'm ever quitting coffee. I'm just letting you guys know that we're not going to go that bare bones again. I'm even growing coffee at this point. That's how much I'm planning ahead. Real quick, my mom emailed me something really funny after listening to the stream the other day. She wrote a story about your grandfather, Troy. True story. One day we were all in the kitchen, so I was younger, about 15, when my dad opened the cupboard door, took out the bottle of apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, took a swig, and as we all stared at him in shock, he said, "Vinegar kills the worms." This would be about 1955. Okay, so anyway, I do want, if people don't know my life, and a lot of you guys have seen the whole run of Unauthorized and DLive and YouTube and Hollywood and all that. And so we have trust and we've developed, you know, a community here that's awesome. And I guess some people don't understand the purpose of all of it. You know, like the other night when I was a little bummed out and some people thought that it was about money. It's not. It's about community. I've been very fortunate, very blessed to have you guys. And not to be a dick, but you guys are kind of, you know, pumped to have me, where we can all support each other. I can help show a big blueprint for an American family in the future, how to dig yourself out of holes and struggle. And you guys are here as well to make this community so I can keep doing this. But a lot of people that think I somehow am this like internet guy that's like begging for money. I'd like to show you guys what my life is like, because this is where I put all my resources, and I'm never leaving this house unless Washington State made it illegal to homeschool or forced vaccinations or something. This is where we are going to stay. And I'm very, very fortunate to have you guys to help us build this Ursa Manor. It's a homestead. And what a lot of people have gotten out of it, especially a lot of the older generation, they get to watch someone like me show the possibilities of this life to the younger generation. And sometimes things look more expensive than they are. You have to understand one of the biggest expenses in all of this is labor. And so when you know that every nail, every board, every thing you're gonna see today that I'm about to show you was labored by my wife and myself and her grandfather and some of our neighbors. And so it's really is doable. I mean, every scale is different, but it's a wonderful existence. And so I want to share it with you because when you are on the homestead and you know where your food comes from, you see stuff that you don't see in a construct world. And your food is so much healthier that I really do think it opens up your mind. You know, and so like what me and Dave Weiss used to talk about, crumbling upward. Yeah, I have been fortunate to have resources in this past year. You know, that's why people send me Lowe's cards and all this stuff, because the people who get it, get it. I'm not buying fancy pants. You know, when you see this, and then there will come a time if, and I don't even think it's written in stone at all. If there is big food shortages or supply chain shortages and people then get envious again, might be nice. It's like, I work from before sun up to after sundown every day, you know, shoveling poop and milking goats and caring for animals and shoveling and working so that I'm connected to my own food. And so is my family. And so you have to look ahead. You have to think like, okay, if there is these vulnerabilities in our economy, what's the best thing to do? You know? And so that's what I recommend. And so even like I have a really big refrigerator, a really big freezer in my garage, and gamma male. And listen, gammas can snap out of it. A lot of gammas act this way because they don't believe it's possible that someone isn't lying to them or manipulating them. That they're, because of their weak dads or lying dads or their corrupt churches or synagogues or mosques or whatever they grew up with, that everything must be a lie. And I'll be patient. I know that there's spurgouts and stuff, but like, it isn't. So when you see a big refrigerator or a big freezer, I saw some gammas spiraling, like that's a $5,000 industrial sized freezer or something. He's clearly, you know, a scam artist. I can show you the math that if you grow your own food and have your own milk and stuff, and there's harvest times and blood moons and all this stuff, that one of the most one of the best ways to save money is to get large refrigeration systems. And mine require electricity, so in the future it's all about root cellars. But if you see a giant freezer and the first thing you think is materialism, you gotta forgive your dad. I don't know how else to put it. Okay, so let's get through this, and we will, and I'll show you what's possible. And one of the reasons that my journey has been so fun to watch and helpful for a lot of people is because I'm not made for this normally. Like, I wasn't raised on a farm. I was a Hollywood comedian. You know, Amy went to school for engineering and she was raised in a suburb. It, you know, it's been new for a lot of us, you know? And so this is something really interesting. And this is how things kind of just fit together. We got this bridge because my son likes fishing and he's 3, so I can tell him he can fish anywhere. He just likes holding a pole and pretending like he's on Little Bear. And so we set up this bridge in this area of our land near the goats where it indented. So there would be kind of sloshy water down there sometimes. We've been getting so much rain that now there's just mystically and magically a full river under our bridge that wasn't there when we put in the bridge. It's really, really beautiful. And I'll show you a million examples of this where when you're connected to nature, as Crow777 says, there's no lie in nature, and you just do stuff based on what would be good for other people or what would be good for animals, things just start emerging like this. And a lot of you guys were here when we started just doing this stuff, and it just something was pulling us to do it. We don't know why. All right, this is last night when I was milking the goats. I was walking over, and out of nowhere, I've never seen this, just because all the rain we've been getting, there's a full river right under this bridge.
That's a full-blown river. Bear Cave, full-blown river. I mean, the odds that a river just happened to emerge under my bridge is very, I don't know, but it's awesome. It's almost like we put a bridge here with no expectations, and then a river just emerged. Wow, what do the goats think? That's called preparation without realizing it at all. I just thought the bridge looked cool.
Okay, and so from the other side, I can just sit under my porch at the Bear Cave, and this is just now in my yard. It's so bizarre, but just, I don't overthink it. I'm just like, wow, this is beautiful. So just check out this sound and just these lights.
That's up. Oh,
All right, so you get it. And so there might be ninth people. We'll look at that in the future and think, oh, he probably spent $10,000 on this water feature. No, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to explain it. It just is. And so, and for people thinking that it's all glitz and glamour, I have to go out with a light every night to milk all the goats. And if you don't milk them twice a day, every day, their teats dry up and there's no more milk. So it's one of those things where I can't, I plan my day around nature itself. You know, there's certain times I have a window, you know, between like 4 and 9, let's say. But if they don't get milked very, very quickly, there's no more milk. And so it's an incredible amount of responsibility. And I remember one of the forefathers, I'm paraphrasing, said something like, you know, a free society is free only with the morality of its men. And I'm seeing that more and more, that there is no model of gun or legislation or celebrity that can make you free. Freedom comes from responsibility, from morality, from discipline. That if you want to be free from foods, poisons, and from the constant threat of shutdown or fiat or something, you have to be up every morning, every night. You have to care for these animals. You have to feed these animals. You have to build these things. And it's not cheap. It's way cheaper than you think if you do all the work yourself. You know, a lot of contractors and estimates always include labor. So, and if anybody was seriously interested in it, I could help them see what things cost and how to save money and how to, like, for example, my sauna, some gammas were spiraling the fact that I have a sauna. They're like, that's a $12,000 sauna that he just gets because he's so rich. No, that's how much it costs if you get it installed and all that stuff. Mine was like $2,500, $3,000 because it had been discontinued. Easily a $10,000 sauna. My son and I, my wife, we all put it together ourselves because we had been scouring the internet for discontinued outdoor saunas. And when you understand what saunas do for your body, that can easily pay for itself with lower medical costs. That it's not just I have this money, this is what that money gets. You have to think big systems. You know, if you can really help your body, and it's, you know, I couldn't have afforded it if it was $12,000, but $2,500 with some sweat, yeah. And then with that, you can help fight off disease? Yes. And so, yeah, I know there's gammas in the world, but I'm not going to stop showing you guys what a life can look like with some effort, even though there's gammas in the world. It's not that many of them, and they make a lot of noise. And I'm going to be more protective of my children in these videos and stuff like that, but I'm not going to shut down and only talk about conspiracies and stuff and not show people what's going on behind the scene in my life, because this can help a ton of young men. When I say stop watching porn, you know, stop wasting your time, stop going into debt, stop chasing women for like short sexcapades and stuff. This is where you get the time to do stuff, you know? And when people are like, oh, Owen's just high IQ, Owen must be nice, Owen's rich. No, this is what happens when you have so much time in the day when you try and give up your addictions. And I'm not giving up coffee, but other than that, I've given up a lot of addictions. I don't understand people who get jealous about money. I hate even thinking about money. It's because they want a lot of money. And so they don't understand that, like when I was upset the other night, like, you know, stick with us, because I see the deplatformings and how people have a short attention span sometime. And it seems like it was about money, but it isn't. It's about, we need enough to pay for our servers and all that, but it's about community. It's about, I feel amazing that I can pass on this information to young men, and I see what it does, and I see how so many people have such possibilities. They have so much potential, and no one shows them anything like that. No one shows them that if they simply balance their checkbook and don't go into debt and think in terms of systems, that their life can be way better and they don't have to stay in this low vibration of debt and sin and porn and all this stuff. And that's important for me. And if you see what I do with my money, which I'm about to show you, I'm going to show you my whole morning, you'll understand that it isn't even possible to think that I'm a scammer. You know, and I understand why people think that, because they're raised with people obsessed with money who lie all the time. And so when you see someone like me getting, you know, donations in the mail or all these people subscribing and you think, he's got the ultimate scam. Look at what I spend my money on. It's for everyone to see. It's animals, it's fences, it's dirt, it's everything I'm about to show you. And so that isn't what a materialist would do. And I'm showing you this because it will help you on it. Even if you get three chickens, even if you grow a little garlic in the corner of your apartment, it does not matter the scale. It just matters that you get a look into the heart of nature, because there's no lie in nature and God is right there. There is no, you know, you're not waiting for some giant revelation. It's there every day, all day long. You see it all day. And so let's check out some more. So this is my... this is what I do every night to milk the goats. That's
hi, girls. What's going on? Hey, guys, all starting a band? What's up, dudes? Hi, girl. Hi there. Is everybody ready to give me milk? You got a nice barn going, guys. You guys fired up? You guys fired up to get hit the milk stand? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Neva. And so I couldn't really show much because it requires two hands, so I couldn't hold the camera or anything. But, and you saw that barn in the back. A lot of you were with me when we were building it. It was a carport that I got with Lowe's cards. And then from there, my wife and I and her grandfather built it with trial and error and wood and just a lot of effort. And then there was leaks in the roof, so we put a tarp over it. And then Amy wanted to make the goats feel more homey, so she put wreaths on it. You know, this is what our life is like. And when I get resources, it's like, oh, great, we can... build up the Ursa Manor more. We can be healthier. We can be freer. But freedom comes at a cost, and that's discipline. Every night, guys, there is no night when I'm not out there with a headlamp. And my son loves coming out with me too now. It's been raining for 3 straight months every day. That's why I made these videos, because it just stopped raining for the first time in like months. But every single night, every morning, it's milking, 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 feeding, milking, cleaning, feeding, and so that's where your freedom comes from. All right, so this is my morning this morning. And, oh, first I'll show you some homestead humor. You can see a little of our baby's front bump coming in. Here's this morning. And, all right, here we go. This is my beautiful wife, Amy.
All right, so Amy, tell me about what you just did to me.
So I played the prank on Ella, and I rang the doorbell, but it made it look like Raya did it. So she was just standing at the door when he opened it.
Yeah, and then you got all these...
And then these guys followed me up. They blew my cover.
Hi, Raya. Are you about to give birth to some kids?
Yes.
What's up, cutie pie? You're about to be a mama. What, does she have 2 kids there?
At least. Probably 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy the big laugh?
You're a good girl. Oh, look how big that chicken is.
Fatty.
Big girl.
Call me fat.
Big fat girl. Okay, and then if you see the gate in the background, I know the gamma instinct to say, when we shut down our credit cards, we used all of our points to get stuff like that gate. So just some advice. If in the future you get like a bunch of Capital One points or something, and you can go on a cruise, or you can get something for the homestead, I recommend stuff for the homestead. That's just my advice. I'm not trying to be a dick or holier than thou. I've wasted tons of money in my life. But like, think about, like my one buddy right now is broke and he was calling me and we're talking about stuff. He's a dad, great guy. But I was like, and he was telling me about Coachella this year. And I'm like, you went to Coachella? He's like, twice, bro. I'm like just adding in my head. And people don't even realize it. They're just like, how could I possibly afford a gate for my driveway? It's like, how many times did you see, you know, how many music festivals did you go to this year? How much did you spend on beer? How much did you spend? And they're just like, easy, bro. So I don't get involved in people's finances, but I'm just telling you that a really good thing to do is when you get points on a credit card or when you get like gift certificates and stuff, just always think long term. You know, a cruise will not do anything for you, but if you like it, you do it. You know, I'm not trying to tell you how to live. All right, so this is my day this morning, and I'll just kind of go through this, and then I'll answer some questions. Oh, and I can open it later to, I figured out how I can gift people subscriptions to this channel. I understand that some people can't subscribe because of their, because it only goes through certain payment processors or whatever, and I don't want to exclude people. It really isn't about that. It's about excluding trolls. So I figured out how to gift people subscriptions from my own lemon stash here, so we can figure that out later. All right, so anyway, let's check out my day, and then I'll explain each section of it and how it's doable. It's not always doable at each scale. Like, for example, my friend Wrangler Star, I can't do his scale. His scale is epic. He has a legitimate compound, you know? And again, the difference between me and a gamma is I think, might be nice, but I just look at it and I'm like, wow. You know, when you have that scale, you can like look at, like you can get your own fuel from wood and stuff and have just massive amounts of operations. And I'm like, nice. So that's what I mean by scale. It's a way of thinking. And I'm never leaving this place unless the laws change where I couldn't homeschool or I was forced to vaccinate. That's it. That's the only thing that will get us to leave ever. So again, if you think that I'm a materialist, it isn't even possible. We have plenty of rooms for all our children, and they're going to be in bunk beds and crush, and it's awesome. And then when you look at this lifestyle I'm about to show you, you understand why it's preposterous to think someone with Down syndrome is a burden or someone in a wheelchair is a burden. You know, if we had a child in a wheelchair or with Down syndrome or something, they would have a absolute role on a homestead. It's only a burden in the beast. And everybody's a little in the beast. I pay taxes, yada, yada, yada. But like, you know, when we got we did our test to see what, if our child was a boy or a girl, it was also a test to see if it was, if it had signs for Down syndrome or cerebral palsy. I didn't even ask. I didn't even think to ask because it's like, I just wanted to know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And that isn't just me being super kind. It's like when you run a system, there's always a room. If someone was in a wheelchair, they could arrange all the seeds and they could keep track on the books. And they, I mean, when you have stuff that's going all the time, there's always a place. Someone with Down syndrome would be incredibly good at labor, at just doing tasks, making people happy with tasks. There's so many low IQ jobs on a farm that are so crucial, it's mind-blowing. So when people are like, oh, my son has Down syndrome, I don't know what we'll do, it's like, I could think of 1,000 jobs for that kid, you know? And so that's why it really is a different mindset. That's why so many people are pro-abortion in giant cities, because in their life, people are a disease. Everywhere they look is people, people, people. People are, you know, coming after their resources and they're scared of diseases and all this stuff. Where I live, people are absolutely the resource. All right, so let's check this out. And I literally can't imagine thinking that human beings should be killed in the womb. And there's places, it's the same with guns. It's like where I live, guns protect your animals. You know, I rarely see police, so it's like you have to protect yourself. In cities, there's police everywhere, and you just think, do they have a gun? Like, the role of a gun when it comes to population density is vastly different. And that's why people sound like they're speaking two different languages, where it's like, you know, a gun in the heart of Manhattan feels like a threat to most people. A gun where I live is just coyote protection, home protection. And it's unimaginable for me to think, get rid of guns. It's like, so what do I use, a crossbow? You know, and it's not, but in a city, it's almost like these people are so cooped up and so heightened anxiety, heightened fear, no connection to their food. And they have a point. They don't know where their food comes from. And they just have a bunch of people living on the system that if the system blips for 1 second, if they have a gun, they're horrified. And so that's why I recommend really analyzing your life and like what is beneficial in your day. And if you live in a place where a human being is a scourge, leave. Okay, so this is my morning.
So it's a nice, beautiful blue sky today. Hi, Silky Chickens. Hi, Red Pill Rooster. So they all know that I have food. I figured it'd be a nice day for me to show you my routine.
Yeah, this doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the thing I sometimes scoop food with. So it was frozen, so I was just like, oh, I'll just beat it with the hammer.
All right. Hey, guys, you here for a comedy show?
Hilarious.
You guys here for a comedy show or what? Hi, ducks. Where's Bumblefoot? Did you leave Miss Bumblefoot because she's a little slow? Hey, alpacas. You guys want a little food? All right, so here's our duck area. As you guys remember, that's Red Pill Rooster's daughter. I was digging it all out this summer to give them an actual pond. Ta-da! Running water? Actual pond, huh? As you can see, running creek, tea plants, bubbling brook. It goes underground, and this will all be producing food.
And so for the Meth Be Nice people, hey, Meth Be Nice, you have a bubbling brook. I literally spent, for you guys that were there, just digging and digging and planting and seeing where water naturally ran in my property and just help it along and set up a pattern months before the rains come so that your ducks can have this. So you're not fighting nature. You're just allowing it to just flow. This is where the water wants to go. So with a little digging and some care, it transforms the duck area into a place where they can splash and play and have an absolute blast. And now there's a really clean, fresh water, you know, brook just flowing all day long. And I'll continue. But it's, I'm telling you, it's all about not fighting reality. You're like, this is where it's going. So what can I do to help it along? What can I do to give it some order? And then we prop up the duck house so it never floods, put in some stone so when it gets super muddy, yeah, all right, so you get it. So here we go. And a lot of you guys remember when those ducks were little ducklings that we were raising in our bathtub. These things take time, a lot of time, a lot of discipline. It doesn't just happen overnight.
One of our compost piles, it's not been easy keeping it from the constant rain. But as you can see, it's dark and rich and ready to be used as amazing soil. Hello.
Oh yeah, someone brought up a great point. The pools are rape pools. It's true, there's more rape happening in the duck ponds than in Harvey Weinstein's backyard. You know, there's a lot of rape. But, you know, it's how the ducks are, and whatever.
See 2B way over there, 2B the goat? All right, here's the outdoor area that we built. We don't even need to really use the water stuff, though. It's because there's so much fresh water on the property because we have that bubbling brook. Hey, guys. And I'll show you how this all works. All right, there's two areas in the chicken coop. We have the human area.
So just real quick, I highly recommend if you're storing food long term, because there is mold issues and there is mice and rats, I'm not being anti-Semitic. Metal, because pests, and I'm not pointing that I'm talking about mice. They can get in, they can dig through just about everything. Like the cloth bags are a nightmare. So metal garbage cans, it keeps it nice and dry, nice and clean. You can store stuff for a while. You can get good discounts. Whenever you see a discount on a lot of chicken food, that's when the metal cans come in handy because you can store it. You know, in the beginning, I would wait and buy a bunch of it in bulk when they go on sale, and then half of it would go bad. So it actually mathematically be more expensive. So that's what I've learned. And then also to keep an area of storage outside the chicken area, you get it. All right, here we go.
That's all clean. And then we have this area. My beautiful wife designed this. Hi, happy birds. All their poop goes right there, and it's very easy to clean so that the floor does not get poopy.
And this, so that's a game changer, guys. So a lot of coops, Amy designed that, and it can swing up so you can easily scoop it. Because pine shavings, cedar shavings, whatever shavings you're using on the ground, or even hay or straw or whatever, it just get mixed up with all the chicken poop, so it's tough to use as fertilizer. It takes forever for pine shavings to break down, literally years. And so she designed that where it's linoleum under that, so it's easy to scoop. And then they sit there, and that's where all the poop goes. So the cycle of energy, we get that for the compost, and it also keeps it cleaner, less disease, you know, and it net lowers our work output. Like, we don't need to work as hard, which is one of the goals. I always think, like, okay, it's just me, my wife, a 3-year-old, and an 83-year-old grandpa named Jack. How can we maximize our energy? And this is one of the ways we did it. And Amy literally invented this thing. It just swings up. We've never seen it for sale. She just designed it, and we made it. And so the separation keeps the chickens in their area. We can have our food in the other area. Walk in. You can have a ton of chickens in there. And then check out this awesome egg box thing. Man, check this out. Man. Did I click on the right thing? No. This is every day, guys. Every day, this is the output of chickens. If you're wondering why I have chickens, I'll give you several reasons.
Our egg thing here, as you can see, that's where they lay their eggs.
Just all day, guys. Those eggs in a store, right? That's as free range, as organic, as healthy as you can possibly get chicken eggs. Those would be $8 a dozen in LA or in a lot of cities. And even if you pay for the best possible eggs, they're still not as good. Those chickens are free ranging all day long. They're emotionally very happy to the point where they literally follow us around. And that does matter. The emotions of the animals that you're extracting eggs or milk from, the amount of cortisol they release, all that directly affects your food. So, you know, that's why I really like laying chickens, because it's just every day, every one of them gives an egg. It's amazing. And so there's death from above. That's why one of the reasons we plant a lot of trees, and we have various cover areas so they can just run in. And so that's a never-ending source of protein for a growing family. Yeah, there's some upfront costs. As you can see, like, our thing is pretty tight and elaborate because, again, this is where my resources go. I don't go on cruises. And so as I'm growing, I get to show you guys how this all works. And in the future, this is ungrabbable living. You know, I'll need a job. I need to do this stuff to pay bills, taxes, buy supplies and stuff. But that kind of, like, 1 foot in the beast, 1 foot out of the beast is a great way to thrive in this current world. Some people can be completely off grid. I can't, but it doesn't matter. One of the things I enjoy is figuring out problems like this, you know, and you can do it with any job setup. Here we go. And long term, it does start saving money on food. It just takes a while. You know, maybe in 10 years we'll have a cheaper omelet.
That's where they get their food? Good times. Miss Bumblefoot over here is taking a little time, so I'm just gonna bring her some food. She's doing really well. She's just a little slower than the other ducks. She's got a nice shoe on that we made her. Here you go. Who says that I'm not in for the public good? If someone's actually limping, I'll bring you some food. But don't take advantage of the public dollar. Isn't that right, Onyx?
I obviously pointed out the black alpaca. Didn't even realize I was doing it. I said, don't take advantage of the public good, Onyx. That's another thing I've learned from homesteading is people are very intuitively big on caring for the injured and the hurt. It just has to be small scale. I have been called a right-wing extremist and all kinds of names because I'm against socialism, I'm against the welfare state, I'm against all this. But in my life, I've spent a couple $100 on that one duck. You know, she had a bumblefoot, an injured duck, injured foot. I mean, maybe not a couple $100, maybe $100. But wrapping her foot, you know, trying to nurse her back to health. Why? Because she's trying and she's injured and she's part of the flock. It's like when the scale gets too big and then you get the parasitic entities taking advantage of people's kindness, that's where it gets really, really bad. So the natural state of humanity, someone like me and a lot of other people that are absolutely against welfare state, absolutely against raising taxes for the poor and the people, half my day is taking care of sick and most of them get better, guys. Half the flock was sick. Me and Amy spent months nursing them back to health. We lost like one because it's like, don't worry about Bumblefoot. She's fine. If she dies, she dies. It's just the whole point is you do the best you can for her. And her duck eggs are now being used to help feed the dogs. You know, they're not just, they're part of the cycle. And so, yeah, the ducks lay an egg each day. And I don't love duck eggs except in baked goods. And since I'm not eating sugar, it's great for the dog food. High protein. Well, they also get some normal dog food, but dog food can get expensive. But the whole point I'm trying to make is when you have a personal connection with someone who needs help, that's why I used to just give money to bears who needed help when I used to have a PayPal until they kicked me off. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes people get envious and angry at it, which is an odd phenomenon. But if people vouch for each other and they say this person's just hard on their luck, like Bumblefoot is always trying. So it's like I will help Bumblefoot as much as I possibly can. If not, that's it. And so that's a great metaphor for social systems where it's like local, small scale. You know, it's similar to when you see justice not happening for sexual predators and stuff like that. And they think, well, back in the day, they used to hang pedos. What happened? And it's like scale happened. If you were in a closed village of 1,000 people and one was a sexual predator and everyone knew it, that person would be in a world of pain. But in this modern life of commuter towns, you know, towns where people don't know their neighbors, you know, it's sprawling, it's all corporatized, people don't know each other very well, then you can't isolate and identify the wicked or who needs help. And so it becomes easily exploited. All right, let's continue. Are you guys enjoying this? Seems like you are in the chat.
All right. That's a big boy right there. He's a baby, though. Hey, Red Pill. Red Pill Rooster's been sleeping with the Silkies at night. He's a bizarre bird. Hey, dirty guys. You want a little buddy? That's a sweet haircut, Duran. I just want a little snack. It's been so dirty lately. Hi, Duran. Hi, Millie and Vanilli. Amy, I know Amy calls you Onyx, but in my mind, you're always going to be Millie and Vanilli.
Oh, and someone's talking about something in the chat. They're like, $24 trillion in debt. Cabal owns your birth certificate. Why do you think Big Bear is homesteading? Here's the thing. That is true. But it's not why I do it. It's I would do it anyway at this point. It's like this is one of the reasons I have so many insights that people tune in for on my stream. It's a great way to live. And I don't want the system to collapse. I want it to heal. I want morality to rise because morality is the key to freedom. It doesn't matter who they say owns a piece of paper or how much fake money is in debt and all that. The thing that matters is people's discipline and morality. The higher that goes, and that is a grassroots movement. And one of the reasons that I got frustrated with all the deplatformings and stuff, even though we are crushing and we figured, you know, we're fine, you know, is because you're not going to hear the way out in the mainstream for obvious reasons. The way out is discipline. It's morality. It's rejecting sin. And if you do that, it doesn't matter what the debt ticker says or who owns your birth certificate. Morality and discipline of your day and being close to your community, being close to your family, close to your food, there's really not a lot of weakness in your life. And that's just the reality. Everything else is a narrative. Everything else is a story, a fiction that people fall for or be roped into if they're in a position of desperation. And these things have to be done way in advance of any actual problems. You know, that's why we're in Washington and people say, oh, it's a liberal state. It's a great state. And there's my wife's family's all over the place. There's two issues that would make us move. If homeschooling became illegal, which I don't believe it is. In fact, homeschooling is skyrocketing, or vaccines became mandatory. You know, I follow the thought of always staying hundreds of miles away from the front lines. I don't want to have a, you know, a situation with enforcement at the door. You can see these things way ahead of time, you know, and then when you're living a more moral life, it doesn't scare you and you can plan. And if you do that, it never even comes. It isn't this endlessly tightening vice. You know, it's only a reflection of the morality of the family unit in America where we live. And it's like, we're about to have our third boy. Think of the strength of three boys within 3 years of each other in a community. Four boys, five boys. Think of the strength of family. Like, that's brothers that are close, brothers and sisters that are close, have each other's back in a way that you can't grapple. You can't say, like when people were after me and you know, we were leaving LA and our life was intense, my brother was like, come, I love you, come here, we'll have a great time, we'll crush. You know, the bond between brothers and family members is so much bigger than the love of money if it's from a foundation of family. And so that's why I'm always so hopeful. And I know some people think it's some sort of scam, but hopefully this helps you see what my day is like when I'm not streaming. It isn't like, oh, I got him again. It's like the amount of discipline. Ask anybody that has animals in a homestead. This is my whole day. And it's making me closer to my family, closer to my kids, closer to my wife, because we can all do stuff together. That's why getting rid of TV wasn't a big deal, because there's so much to do every day. All right.
All right.
And here's another benefit of chickens. For example, in the spring, there's going to be a lot of maggots and stuff where the alpacas are because of their poop, right? Let in the chickens. Have them eat the larvae. So now you have a protein source. You have a natural cleanup crew. You have now the best manure for growing plants there is alpaca manure. It's just pure nitrogen and minerals and all this stuff. You don't even have to wait for it to break down. And that's the cycle. That's how you get everything working together so it isn't a burden. In fact, you all elevate each other, which has always been my goal and purpose with the bears. That's why the gamma side before and all the drama we experienced was so frustrating, because when you have trust in the cycling of energy and you realize that it isn't a scam, everybody rises, everybody grows, everybody can work with each other. You know, and that's why some of these small, tight-knit communities right now have such an advantage, because they have each other in a world of the commuter corporation. And so this is why I do what I do, and this is why I'm so passionate. All right, here we go. Now we're about to see Tubi.
See the rest of Tubi. Bye, girls. I hope the pregnancies are going well. Silky chickens. Don't spit on me. And just like clockwork, Tubi the mystical goat is just staring at me from a very far distance. I'm bringing Tubi a nice snack. Hi, Tubi. How'd you sleep last night, mystical goat? No one knows where you came from. Are you doing good?
All right, so those of you that don't know the story, Tubi, this goat right here, one day I just see something walking back and forth in my goat area. I think it's a deer. Turns out it's a goat. Came out of the middle of the wilderness. Nobody around is missing a goat. Nobody knows where Tubi came from. We're in the middle of the country. There's homesteads all over the place. It's not like we're desolate, but it's like every yard's 5 acres at least. But it's like no one's missing this goat. We have no idea where Tubi came from. My son out of nowhere just goes, Tubi, which means God is good. And it's a very interesting story. And so, you know, we're still... And that's another thing about taking care of each other. It's like if we were in desperation, if we needed food, if Tubi was making it so any other animal couldn't thrive, Tubi would be out. But since we have plenty, since we're blessed, since God is giving us plenty of food, Tubi can be a goat we take care of, and it's a very interesting story and just another element of Ursa Manor. You know, it's not Tubi is the Antichrist. No. Tubi is an angel. I think it's more likely. I think Tubi is also just a goat, but it's a remarkable story. And now I'll show you more about Tubi. It's just a fun little quirk that happens when you're connected to your food every day. Here's Tubi. And it just so happens that used to be our goat shed until we expanded. And this was our old goat area. So we already had it set up. So Tubi just gets to hang there. All right, here we go.
You're just going to stare into my soul, per usual? Sounds good. I have a snack for you, Tubi. Tubi the mystical goat. No one knows where she came from. Emerged from the forest. And no one knows. She has giant horns and a lot of toes. And a third horn on her shoulder. Which is kind of freaky, but she's super cool. Tubi means God is good, and my son named her randomly. He's only 3. Come here, Tubi. Tubi wanted a little space. Check out the our cool crevasse over there. We have a river running right along our property. Tubi, where are you going? That's another horn on her shoulder, by the way.
Yeah, so Tubi, I know people are saying Tubi's a demon. Tubi's not a demon. It's a goat. There's some weird backstories going on with Tubi. And, you know, it's all good. And the stream and the giant ravine behind us is where I kind of understood the nature of the opportunist. Because when we first moved here, the coyote screaming is unreal. You know, it's just like they're taunting you. They're trying to scare you. They're trying to let you know that at any minute they can come get... They don't. They're opportunists. If you built a decent fence, you know, like me and Ryan went back there. That's why there's some posts over there. I was about to set up this whole electric grid to keep coyotes away and stuff. All it required was a fence. And we had a weasel issue. The weasel has been killed by my hand, by an axe. But we never had, like, I have a night scope on an AR for coyotes and a day scope. I was ready. Dude, the howling was a psyop. So there's psyops in nature everywhere. It's nuts. It's like the song of the dead. It's like the killers are out there. And I thought it was only a matter of time until they came after one of my, I was joking, BB. Oh, I don't know. It's all gravy. Hey, Owen, I really miss you being on YouTube. We're still on YouTube. Just go to Owen Benjamin Bear Cave, Owen Benjamin Gravy, False Witness Bear V2, Oil Bear's got a channel, Papa J Bear has one. I'm not Owen Benjamin V3. Papa J Bear has been crushing. He's been coming through while Coddington is working on our documentary in Atlanta. He's finishing it up. It's going to be great. You guys are going to dig it, hopefully. But yeah, you can find the streams. But stay subscribed to Unauthorized. It's a bumpy month. I know it's odd that a lot of you are there to see my streams, and my streams are the ones that are being, we're uploading them kind of randomly this month. We'll be way more consistent next month. It was just a server issue that we had. Trust me, it's all good. Just be patient. It's all good. And if you want to support this channel, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington 98335. But we are very excited for the new documentary for Unauthorized subscribers. It's called You're Doing Great, Kid. You get to see a lot more of like actual milking and stuff like that, and stories that Amy tells and everyone tells. And it's on the road with my last tour. It's a blast. I'm wearing piano one-handed. I'm listening. You're all crushing. Sweet. Subscribe to Unauthorized TV and add it to your Roku. Yeah, thank you, Bunny Bear. So what was I talking about? 2B might be... Oh, yeah. So the PSYOP of the Coyotes has helped me understand PSYOPs in media, PSYOPs in politics. It's opportunists. Coyotes are opportunists. They will go after the sick, the weak, the unprotected. They're also scavengers. They go after the dead. BB, there was a stabbing today in London, and little do you know, a purple motorcycle is in the middle of the frame as well as shoes. I don't even watch anything like that. I just find it gravy. But yeah, that's what they do. The PSYOP of the Coyote helped me understand the PSYOP of the world. And so that's why I highly recommend living a more nature-based life, because you see the truth in it everywhere. I heard about the London thing. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Don't get me wrong. But you're not going to get me breaking down too many hoax or false flag situations in the future, because it's kind of like you're not going to get me too scared of coyotes, because I understand them now. I understand the point. I understand what they feed on. I understand why they yip and howl just to make people spiral. They're trying to get animals to reveal themselves with fear, running away, and then they're dead. So when you have the discipline to just stand your ground, the coyote does nothing. All right. There we go. Let's continue.
It's a horn. Very interesting. Very interesting goat. It's almost like she can see into my soul. Or maybe not. Or maybe she's just a weird goat that I now take care of and we're buddies. Amy and I recently built this gate out of some old wood. This is where the silky chickens live. And now Red Pill Rooster lives with the silky chickens for some reason, because he's a weirdo. The kale still crushes in the frost, as you can see. This is set up to be really good this year. We're really excited. We still have the olive tree survived, a lot of survival. But we're ready to plant a bunch of new stuff. And then that is going to be for meat birds, that little thing over there, that we can just roll around so that every day they just dig up some stuff and then we eventually slaughter them and eat them, because that's what humans do. All right, good times. And then that's where we're about to put our seedlings. Greenhouse.
Yeah, and so we will have meat birds that we do one big slaughter with, and we're going to do it with a rolling... coop, so that they naturally are digging up worms and all that stuff. And meat birds they get so big that they can't really survive anywhere, and they're kind of nasty little bastards. And I won't name them, you know, we won't get emotionally close to them. And that's the meat source. Like I could never slaughter my goats at this point unless we were starving. But the whole point of preparation is you never get there, you know? And so that's where we are with meat. And we don't really need meat, but it's good to keep them frozen because it's ungrabbled. It's not like there's zero antibiotics, zero grabble, free range. They all would die without any fear, you know, totally. Because I really think that fear and trauma gets put into chickens' meat. It's in my body. Like when I'm losing a lot of weight or when I'm quitting addictions, I get like, dude, it gets like emotional. And so that's why I think the meat tastes so much better when you raise it like that. But I don't like slaughtering animals that are part of the system. I want them all to live. But we will have a very specific, like when you have three growing boys, I respect vegans' whole thing. I'm not, as long as you don't push your stuff on me, I won't push it on you. But don't think you're avoiding cruelty because you are killing carrots. And I don't see how you can get enough protein when you're dealing with a 6'8" Viking and just growing boys. But, you know, to each his own. I try to avoid as much cruelty in the meat as possible because I think it affects the meat. I think it makes it more, like I think cortisol itself is a problem in meat. And so if you raise your animals properly and they die with dignity, not knowing, it's infinitely healthier. Okay, let's continue.
Here are the rabbits. They're doing quite well. This little guy, he's had two of his buddies killed, one by a weasel and one by my dog, George. And he's doing fine, no PTSD or, he's just chilling. There's two girls living in this one. They're divided by this. In case we ever needed a food source, we would let them breed like crazy and then we would eat them.
Yeah, and someone was talking about veganism is an agenda, not a diet. I disagree. I think that there is agenda elements to it. It's trying to make people feel like they're... Guys, 90% of America is empty. There's no population problem. I don't even think there's 7 billion people. I think a lot of that is fear porn. A lot of people pushing it believe it because they live in cities. And so veganism is one of these weird UN things. And I'm not convinced that it's all nefarious. I think it's all bad. But I think a lot of these people believe what they're saying because they're retarded. You know, it's like, oh, we won't be able to feed people. So we have to, you know, make soy into everything. Yeah, if you live in Manhattan your whole life, that may be your worldview. And there might be some real nefarious people trying to just make control. But yeah, veganism is a political movement to make it so people feel like parasites and feel like viruses. So it's like, how dare you eat cows? They need so much land. There's so much land. There's no global warming. But veganism does make sense. If I was only exposed to like horror meat, like McDonald's meat and KFC and all that, I think veganism's smart. Because it's like, if you see that the meat you're exposed to all live horrific fear lives, I think the agenda could easily be that they're trying to pump fear into people. You know, I think hunting is way more humane, way more natural. You know, that meat you eat was not, like, lived a good life and then died quickly. That's why you have to be really good at hunting to do it. But vegan, it's both. That's why some of these things are so, they're not black or white. It's not like veganism is a political agenda. Yeah, it is kind of, but it also, it makes sense if your only food source is horror meat. But if you can get meat from animals that lived a good life, no, meat's great. Meat's very healthy. And we're supposed to eat meat. You know, we're supposed to eat veggies or meat. I think that our teeth are designed where you can kind of go either way. It's kind of, but if you think veganism is morally above me, you're crazy. You know, because to get mass amounts of produce, we're talking about combines that just rip off the heads of rabbits and stuff in mass. So don't think, like, eating is, you have to eat life to live. That's just reality. You know, eating insects is still killing. My whole thing is do it in a way where the animal wasn't flooded with fear and the vegetables were grown naturally without chemicals. You know, that's why the soil cycle is so important, why we have so much compost and stuff. That's all it is. It's all how you do it. You know, the fear in the animals, the cruelty in the animals, the chemicals in the animals, that does get passed on. So veganism has a point, but it isn't like this moral high ground at all. It only has, if I was living in a city with absolutely no access to meat that wasn't horror raised, I could easily see myself being vegetarian, not vegan, but vegetarian. But thankfully I don't have to do that because it may turn you gay.
But since we don't need that, right now they are just a great place for little kids that are friends with my son to come enjoy rabbits. And since it's been raining so hard, we got the little bridge over here working overtime. This is where Walter likes to jump in the puddles.
Someone said, yeah, but plants are alive too. I know, I just made that point. And if you don't listen, if you get in that zone where I can say that point and you just go, but plants are alive too, you're part of something that's bigger than, it's your gut biome lying to you. I just said that. My whole point is that if you consume meat that was killed in a lot of fear and their lives were filled with horror and fear, it will pass on. Like that isn't good for your body. If you eat vegetables that were sprayed and genetically engineered for mass production, it's not good for your body. That's just reality. And we all do it. You know, I'm exposed. Like I don't have cows. I eat beef from the store. It's grass fed. You know, it's a little more expensive, which is a bummer. But like, I'm just trying to consume. When I eat meat, I want the animal to not have been flooded with fear. Because, dude, it's a physical thing. Like, cortisol and fear and horrible, like, living conditions will transfer into the meat. Trauma transfers into the meat. And so my point is, veganism has a point with that. Now, if you can fish and hunt and raise your own cattle, and when you kill them, it's quick and there isn't fear, meat can be healthier than vegetables in certain contexts. That's the whole point I'm making. And if you're so like freaked, if you're so indoctrinated by hating vegans, you can't even listen to the words coming out of my mouth, it ain't veganism that's the problem.
And then some empty coops here for meat birds potentially. Yeah, we're ready to go this year. All these trees are fruit trees. Good times. This is the old chicken coop. But it has been redone for pregnant goats and little chickies. So this is where Neva is. Or no, this isn't Neva, this is Raya. Hi Raya, Raya's very pregnant. And this is her very safe, very protected area. Amy and I made this gate. And she's here safe, ready to give birth. And then this is the human area. But we can also have chickies because there's electricity here, so we can easily make it warm. So this seems like a very good use of space. Have some windows. We have cameras on her, and every now and then we'll look at the camera, and she's just looking out the window, looking at her buddies. I know you miss your buddies, but, you know, we don't want anyone to sleep on little goats. Hi!
Yeah, someone said there's more nutrition in fruits and veggies than eating dead things. Well, you're eating dead things if you're eating vegetables. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And someone said, how is there not a trauma in a fish when you pull out of the water? It's very quick. It's if the whole fish's life, you know, if you have a cow that's just in these pens and then and his whole life is horror, and then they're just mass slaughtered and there's a stench of death everywhere, and that meat is not going to be good because its life was it's passing on the trauma. But, you know, I've raised carrots from birth. I've started a carrot with a little seed and watched it grow and then nurture it and give it water. And then I yank it out of its home and I eat it. And it knows it's dying. You know, those leaves can't feel the sun anymore. Like, what's happening? There's a giant. And the vegan will be like, that isn't the same life, though. That's not life. That's life. Well, then we only eat things that can be regrown, like the leaves of the kale plant. Yeah, the kale's trying to reach up to the sky, and I just come in and I rip its arms off and rip its legs off, and then it's weak, and it's like, we can still survive, and they try again, ripping, you know, pulling the fingernails. Guys, it's all life. My whole point is you don't get a moral high ground from veganism. The whole thing is when you eat your food, have it be in the cycle of nature so it doesn't have damage when you eat it. That's the goal. And so if you try and high ground veganism, I'll explain to you exactly where you get your food from. Like, some of the, you know, like garlic, you just rip it out, just cut it, chop it. You know, some of these, the fruit is like the testicles. It's like the gonads of the tree. You just rip it off, just chop it up, eat it, suck it down like a homo. Some vegetable scream. Dude, when you cut down a tree, and I've cut down many trees. My brother's a tree guy. And it knows it's dying. It will release the nutrients to its neighbor trees, especially when they're closer in lineage, as it's dying. Guys, life is life. Don't be a speciesist. Don't think that a carrot has any more right to life than a rabbit. The point is, the more sentient the being is, the more its fear will transfer into your food. And that's just the reality of life. And if you're a good shepherd and you care, your food will be better. Vegans are so damn pushy like atheists. They can be or not. The ones that aren't, you never even knew. That's why I'm giving the vegans a defense, because I've known vegans I didn't even know were vegans. And they're just like, oh, I'm a vegan. And I'm like, you guys are out there. And they're like, yeah, there's the annoying ones ruin it for everybody. I'm like, interesting. And so that's why I'm giving a shout out to the vegans that simply eat that way. And you have no right to judge them for that. The only way you have a right to judge them is if they throw it in your face and they act like they are morally superior to people who eat meat. Like our teeth, you know, it's different than grazing animals. It's also not predator. It's like in between. It's like one of those, it's the teeth that basically say, you know, do what you got to do. Because if we were bushmen living in the wilderness, you have to eat life. Like life. Like you have to eat meat or bugs or worms or something, because you're not going to get enough protein from berries, guys. But, you know, if you get to a point where you don't have to eat a lot of meat, you know, that's your choice. But you absolutely, same with Christians, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Same with homos. Granted, it's different because sodomy is a sin, fact. But I've known a few homos that just kept to themselves, never bothered anybody, never proselytized it. But unfortunately, you know, it's much different though, because that's still a sinful lifestyle. But it makes you less like, really, I don't know. The homo in public these days is one of the most annoying people that's ever existed. Thanks for shout out, because people don't understand how horrifying factory farms are. Right, and that's one reason why the evangelical vegan, it feels like they have to constantly yell in everyone's face, is because they're probably reacting to the horror of factory farms. It's kind of like I've been that way with NASA, where I'm like, how can you not see their wires? From the other side, guys, it's like you can't just do that to people, because like you're operating, you know, you can't be this moral superior person when you still live in this world. It's a lot better just to casually talk about this stuff. So BB, can you watch this show on Discovery Channel, Homestead Rescue? They're so based. I don't watch TV. All right, Big Bear, I'm just going to read a couple and then I'm going to go play with my kids and go, have a good day. If steak didn't taste so good, I'd be vegan. Yeah, it's all just how things are slaughtered. Guys, cows are food. It's just don't, like, give them an honorable death. Raise them well. It's more than a lot of humans get. You know, it's like, I put more effort into my goats and chickens' life, like having a good life, than a lot of the government controllers do with us. It's, in fact, way more. Like, they get to be with their children. They get to have a lot of free time. They get to eat really healthy food. They don't get, like, just beaten and assaulted and molested, you know? And so be careful what you think. I don't know. I just think that if you eat what is in the cycle of nature, it's way different. Great stream, 10 out of 10. Thank you, Radical Bear. No woke rape. I thought that this would be a good time to show you guys what the majority of my life is like. So when I talk about keeping our community strong, you know, subscribing to stuff, hitting the like button, all that. It's not that I need money. I just need to be able to keep doing this because it's really helpful to everybody. And I don't want to give up the fact that I'm a comedian. I don't want to ever kneel. I want to always in the back of my mind be planning a tour in the future. Some people are like, why don't you just check out? Why don't you just live your beautiful life and stop being so annoying on YouTubes and stop trying to beg? I'm like, because I'm a comedian and I refuse to kneel. I won't be redefined by political correctness. Yeah, my home life is awesome and homesteady, and this is a great thing to put my energy towards. But like, I'm still a comic. I'm still here. I'm not going to stop what I do, which is speaking and making people laugh and putting things together. And so I ain't going anywhere. And so this is a good stream to show people the point of my passion. It isn't like, send me donations so I can buy more pants. In fact, you know, sometimes I forget to get new pants. All right. And if you don't have money, don't worry about it. That's why we have 8-10 platforms where you can always hear these streams for free. It's just keep supporting the community. Stay with us. Don't just ramble, like wander off because there's something more shiny and promoted. And the reason that this isn't promoted by the beast, but yet I'm not, like I can still operate, is because this is something we can all do. If you have discipline, if you have routine, if you have faith, if you have gratitude, if you have a lack of materialism, you can thrive. That's why sometimes I have to reconnect on this level with people because I forget this. Like I'll be like, oh, the economy dips. Well, it'll burn off some dead wood. And then I remember that when the economy dips, people die. You know, good people die. People get evicted. People lose their job. People can't afford food, literally. Like there's a section of the population that's really in a vulnerable, desperate position where if the economy dips, they die. And so that's why I'm not one of these guys just rooting for collapse or something. I'm rooting for almost like what I'm doing with my gut biome. Like I want to kill off the parasites with discipline. I don't want to feed the parasites. And so if we do that, when there is a dip, less people die. Less people are thrown out of their house. Less people, if you, you know, restrict your materialism, you know, have communities, really put effort where you don't get paid. You know, when people try and say that I'm motivated by money, look at how much money I've spent on things that don't give me a return. All the gardening, all the chickens, all the goats, like I'm not selling it. It's not even legal to sell goat milk. Like so much, like the alpacas, it's going to take years to get it. So we have a system where we get the wool, spin the wool. We're already spinning it, making our own hats, making our own clothes. It takes years. It's like, what kind of materialist would invest the majority of his income into things that don't give you any money? And it's because the big system is the whole point. And so when I'm doing this, I sometimes forget that there are people that don't have some of these tools. So I'll never root for the system to collapse because when, you know, when it ticks down, there X amount of people will die if they don't have community, discipline, food coming in. That's my whole point. And so the more skills we get, the more this gets to be heard by people who can be like, oh, I got to be friends with my neighbors. I need more connection to my family. Because if you fall, they won't abandon you. You know, if some people are like one click away from homelessness and their parents are gone and their brother's not talking to them and they don't know how to get food and they can just die. And so those people are not your enemies, guys. They're not wicked people. They're just extremely vulnerable. And so that's why I in the future need to incorporate more with these videos and stuff and how family is not an expense when you live properly. Some total BS laws about milk and collecting water. Right, that's why you have to do it for yourself, your family, your community. You can't market it. That's what I've seen with these laws, because I face down a lot of these laws. I look at the laws. You know, my neighbor's a former cop, so it's like we're always looking at laws and trying to get around it. You know, he's a legend. You know, it's like you're allowed to do this amount per month. And all the laws that I've seen, like the created Irish potato famine, God brought his out of it. It forced the Irish to come to America and crush in our culture. I don't know. I can't read that far into it. But like what I've figured out about a lot of these laws is the laws are set up so you can't market anything. You can't sell it. You can't make a living bringing people health and security. But you can do it for yourself, your family, your community. And that's why, and that's the way to thrive within the beast. Do you see Daryl Davis on Jerry? I don't watch Jerry. I don't enjoy watching homosexual midgets promote sodomy and lies. BB, I think you would really enjoy kayaking and fishing up there in Washington. Maybe a future episode. Yeah, definitely. Slowly neutering my siblings into buying a compound. Yeah, but start small. I didn't start small, so I guess that might not be the best advice. But like, just when you open your eyes to the blueprint of it, where use money as a resource for other currency, your life opens up and your fear just drops. You know, you're like, I haven't been scared of a media event in so long at this point, to the point where it almost felt odd at first. Where it's like, at first it was almost like when you no longer are into a girl that used to drive you crazy, and then you see like shit that used to drive you crazy on like Facebook, and you don't care at all, and you're like, huh, I don't care anymore. That's odd. At first it was odd. Like, I don't get scared from that. I do have fears that especially get released when I'm like fasting or something, but none of it has to do with the screens, you know, because when you live like this, it's not, you just don't feel as vulnerable. Sure, you could come up with a scenario, you know, but the tyranny that a lot of people are scared of isn't even possible for, it would require so much degeneracy and so much negligence and so many people to just act like butt pumping morons for so long that we're very far from that. And so in the meantime, live a life where that doesn't come. Good weather and good bears today. Oh, it's great. I dug a grave for my neighbor's horse. I received a long thank you letter worth more than fiat shekels. Exactly. And when you have each other's backs, your fear goes down because the people in charge of the fiat can tweak you just really easily. It's very easy to make people scared or salivate with just digits. And so try and, you know, Branch Davidian tried to do a Christian compound. The beast wasn't having it. Well, yeah, but really analyze how they got caught up. I don't want to just divert into that, but no, you can do what I'm doing, guys. You can. And with stuff like that, the beast exposes their hand, like with Ruby Ridge and a couple other horrific tragedies. Horrible PR for the beast. I know people in those type of agencies, that's like horrifying for them. That isn't good. They don't do that to show their power. That actually is like martyrdom, rally cries against the beast. That's the least thing they want. You know, sometimes when the economy's ticking down, the IRS will give an order to like pump the brakes a little because they don't want martyrs. Just like Ruby Ridge and Branch Davidian, like those things were not ideal for the government. Like, in fact, real bad. You know, because they want to give the illusion of safety for people or else they wouldn't work or pay taxes or anything. Like, they don't have the enforcement ability to make 350 million people pay taxes. So it has to be based on just compliance and, you know, believing in it and all that. And that's why I pay taxes, because I see how I can do that and thrive and everything. But, like, it was a beast assault on Second. Right, but if people think their Second is infringed, what do? They buy guns, they start coalitions. It has the opposite effect. Opposite effect. Branch Davidian sold more guns than any event. You know, same with like some of these false flags or some of these things like Sandy Hook, like right after gun sales. You know, they used to say Barack Obama sold more guns than any president in history. Because the backlash, the blowback is insane. Like, there's not a lot of people controlling hundreds of millions of people. And that's something you always have to think about. You know, ironically, sometimes when right-wing people are in power, they can sneakily pass more legislation against people because they're not awake to it. They're just like, our guy's in. All right. Big Bear, thank you for having the courage to speak the truth. My wife and I have truly enjoyed following you and your family and soaking up tons of gravy. Congratulations on the life day of your third child. We have 5 children of our own, picture enclosed, and have been talking about trying for another soon. Awesome. Love it. Family. Crushing. Your call to build the family and crush resonates well with the initial calling in Genesis to go be fruitful and multiply, as well as Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples. Right, exactly. Because evil does it. Evil will create these satanic families and try and groom their kids into horror. Why don't you do the opposite? Why don't you stop complaining about it and make disciples? And that's reality. It's and so if you're just sitting at home terrified by your YouTube videos and watching your porno, then like, oh, there's so many satanic people in the world. Well, make some that aren't. Make people that aren't traumatized factory farm animals so that they grow and be the and they're the future. That's the whole thing. That's why it's so important for me to keep just crushing, even if it's a smaller scale than what YouTube, what I had on YouTube, or if we have bumps in the road and expenses and shame mobs and media and stuff like that. The whole thing is what I'm trying to show today. 33 seconds slow mode is legendary. Thanks. Yeah, it's a good way to just laugh at it. All right, keep crushing. Also, can I be verified as this is happening, Bear? Welcome, this is happening, Bear. And you have a beautiful family. A lot of bike ownership in that family. All right, I'll just open like one or two more. We do it by modeling right energy. Right. I remember the acid rain fear porn, 80s baby. Yeah, exactly. My grandmother had Spanish flu. You know how people these days are like, coronavirus, Spanish flu killed millions. Spanish flu wasn't even fear porn. Like back then, my grandmother survived Spanish flu when she was 2 years old. And the medicine they used was blackberry brandy. And no one else in the family got it. In fact, only like 1% of the urban population died of it. And it wasn't even called the Spanish flu till later. It was just like, someone's sick. We'll fix it. That was the worst pandemic in American history. And like in my family's history, it was just like, oh, your grandma had it as a baby, but you know, a little blackberry brandy. And these days people are like, the Chinese government has told the fake media that we're all gonna die. It's like, how many deaths so far? They're like, none, but it's climbing. I'm like, well, there's deaths in China. And another reason why I love doing these streams every day is because it's so alienating sometimes to not be in the fear at all. Like when people say that, at no point am I worried for 1 second about coronavirus. And other people I see genuinely in their eyes, people that we've already discussed that the media lies to them, there's fear porn, the Chinese government lies to people, that this happens every year, every few years, right? Even if it was real, even if it was the worst pandemic since Spanish flu, you probably wouldn't know anyone who got it, statistically. If you live in an urban environment, out of 100 people, one would die. How many more people will die from fentanyl? Well, people worry about it. That's the worst in American history. 1918. So it's like the fear, and then people they just forget and they do it again. And I'm like, haven't we grown? It's zero and climbing. But there's such a thing as planes. Okay. Logos rising. May Yahweh protect you and your family in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep spreading the truth, Logos. Thank you. I'll open maybe one more. I'm going to roll. Even here in Lapland, they try to make fear from coronavirus. Yeah, but see, it's your job to not buy it. Like right now, down the street, they're selling Twinkies, right? They're selling Twinkies at the local store. At no point do I feel the need that I have to go shut them down from selling Twinkies, right? Twinkies are poison. Twinkies is flavored poison. Right down the street, there's a gas station, good people, really like them. They sell all kinds of poison. Poison that kills more people than coronavirus. At no point do I feel the need to shut them down. All I do is say, I'm not going to bite on that. It's the same with fear. The media will never stop doing what it does. The media creates fear. The media creates panic. The media pushes agendas. So it's your job to not buy the Twinkie. It's your job to not bite on the fear. And if you do that, it loses all its power. It's like the coyote screaming in the ravine on the other side of a very well-constructed fence. Killer bees is another fear porn psyop ran in the 70s. Right, and that's why I got a little frustrated about the corona thing, because I've worked extremely hard, and a lot of us have opened our eyes to how this all works. But when the rubber meets the road, if you can't see the pattern and detach from it and not bite, it doesn't matter how many videos I make. It's like, until you can see the pattern and say, oh, this is just like, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam. And someone could be like, yeah, but this one's real though. It's like, even if it is real, what does that mean? And then that's it. And then you don't feel the need. You have to control the world. You don't have to change the world. You don't have to inflict on others. You know, if Trump doesn't want to build a wall, build a fence. You know, if the banking elite isn't arrested, you know, drink a lot of vinegar and kill the parasites in your gut. Because that stuff you have control over, and you can actually help your life. The only thing that bugs, no pun intended, me is they're claiming it's an engineered bioweapon. Who is they? Who is they? Who are you getting your information from? It's just like, who cares? There's levels of fear porn for every one of these operations. They're going to try and scare the people completely asleep to a lot of this stuff with just simply the coronavirus, because they believe, you know, Anderson. And then they're going to try and scare the kind of conspiratorial people that's like, oh, this could be engineered, but it's going to come. And then they're trying to scare the next level of like, oh, the reality isn't real because we have the, it just, there's no Mandela effect on my property. I've never once seen a duck become a ducky. Just detach from that which you've realized is fake and gay. All right. Last one. Hey, BB, I also wanted to invite you and my husband, write you. I also wanted to write you. My husband introduced your streams to me a few months ago, and I am grateful he did. Ever since my husband has regularly watched you, I've seen a wonderful change in his day-to-day attitude, as well as the spark for hope in the future. I'm happy to see those return. While witnessing this transition in my husband, I grew curious. Where did that spark come from? That's my adding. All right, sorry. Before I knew it, I was a bear myself, and I've noticed a hunger in my soul to strive to be a better wife, as well as a better human and Christian. After moving out at the young age of 18, I was quite the rebellious young lady. I turned from God and made many mistakes, burning bridges and not caring who I hurt in the process. My parents never wavered in love for me and always tried to bring me back to our Lord and Savior. I am very lucky to have had that support. My husband and I have both seen quite a shift in ourselves as well in following you and your story. I'm very thankful for that. Congrats on your new cub-to-be, and send some love to Amy and the boys from me as well. Much love, prayers. P.S. Might be verified as Daisy Bear. Welcome, Daisy Bear. Thank you again. Thank you. Last one. Greetings, Owen. First of all, I would like to say thank you for the hours of content you provide constantly. I remember you saying you were giving people an alternative to MSM. I've been watching you for almost a year now, nearly every day, and recently my wife has become a bear. It's so refreshing to have someone showing men and women how beautiful life can be and giving them tools on how to achieve it. My wife will be 27 on Christmas Eve, and I will be turning the same age the next day, Christmas. We are working on paying off our debt, which is very small compared to most, A+. At the same time, we are working on starting a family. We own our own trailer, and the next step is finding land. Love it. That's where it's at right there. Right now, we still pay a lot in rent. This is my first time writing, so I will keep it short before I start to ramble. I really appreciate the opportunity to have a reason to hand write a letter. It seems to be a lost art form that I am enjoying. Anyway, please pray for my family, as we will be praying for you and yours. You and Amy and the kids are the best, and we really look to you guys as role models. And hopefully, as long as USPS is something, Merry Christmas. We will see you on DLive and unauthorized. Take care, Big Bear. P.S. I'd like to be verified as Flatfoot Bear. Welcome, Flatfoot Bear. More letters to come. Keep the gravy flowing, Big Bear, and the bears will keep crushing. Love it. All right, I'm going to land the plane. Yeah, because with the gamma attacks and some of these weird attacks where people are sending authority, they're trying to use the system to scare us and send stuff to our house. Those of you that know about that story, I was a little more protective and not really showing people the joys of my day. So today I wanted to kind of bridge that gap. I'm not going to be like just constantly showing videos of my kids and stuff. But I'm not going to let those fears keep me from showing you guys some really cool stuff in my life that you guys help nurture and support, you know. And yeah, the gravy's great and I'll always do gravy episodes, but sometimes I'll have Amy on to talk about pregnancy and to talk about, you know, gardening and how I take care of animals and stuff like that, because that it's not just what is wrong with the world. So many people are obsessed with pointing out what's wrong, but they never point out what's right and how to get to more right. And so that's why I did this episode today, and I hope you guys share it, because I am not allowed on any social media. Why? Because a lot of it isn't just the beast. A lot of it is jealous individuals, people that look at me and they hate me for it, and then they rally each other to mass flag me and all that stuff. It's almost like the crabs that keep each other in the pot as it boils. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of people that when I express strength and vulnerability and roadmaps out, and we overcome things, and I truly don't have a monetary agenda, people can then hate, doesn't even begin to describe it. Usually they come in real hot, like, I want to be the best bear in the world. I'll do anything you want. And then when they fail once, poof, I'm not their savior, you know, and then they think I'm a liar because of their one failure. That's the pattern I've seen. And so those people are some of the biggest reasons that I'm not allowed on social media. It's not just the tiny little hats. A lot of them don't even know I exist. They're too busy covering their crimes. And so that's the pattern. The irony of me being called a cult leader is they get so mad at me because I'm not a cult leader. I don't control their lives. I can't shape their day and tell them exactly what they do so that they thrive. You're going to have failures. You're going to have just like moments of despair. Reject despair. Despair is a sin. If you don't think I've had my share of fears and sadness and stuff like that based on what you've witnessed me go through for the last 3 years, you haven't been paying attention, you know, on every level. And the fact that I can overcome with the help of God, Jesus, my wife, my family, my community, my extended family, the bears, that's the lesson. The lesson isn't that it comes from me. I'm just a good place where you can see a roadmap where even in the darkest of hours, everybody can plant a seed. And so I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you want to support the channel and write me a letter, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. Despair is the opposite of faith. It is. And I've had it. I've had moments of it recently. Just little glimpses of it, little glimpses of the darkness. Everybody does. It's natural. Fight it. Get out of it. Punch it in the face. Despair is always bad. At no point can you not figure a way out of it, out of the darkness. People have had more hope, gratitude, and faith in a little prison cell in the corner of some foreign field than many people feel in their homes under, you know, where they can walk out under the sky. And so that's the takeaway. And one of my biggest threats is the people that think I'm going to save them and I don't. And fortunately, most people here are not like that. Let me release the lemons. I forgot about that. I always release the lemons. One second. And so thank you for all of the support and just coming here every day and, you know, crushing, because it helps me, it motivates me, it gives me a community, it gives me connection. For some reason, I can't release the lemons. I'll do it next time. And we pick each other up, you know? So have those kids, have that family, and grow. Thank you all for standing for truth. What else is there? What am I supposed to lie and pretend Bumblefoot doesn't have a hurt foot? I know that sounds absurd, but that's as crazy as it is for people to say men and women are the same, or we come from a big bang and random banging. It would be as insane if I said my duck doesn't have a hurt foot. And when you're in a world where lying to yourself, faking it, your animals die, you know, your food fails. It's so easy to train yourself to be like, oh, lies will kill you. Lies will keep you from achieving your goals. And if they want to take away my YouTube channel, okay. So what it was is, that's all right. We start again. DLive is crushing, unauthorized, BitChute, the Clips channels. It's fine. It's a small price to pay than to live in a world of illusion and mirrors. And there has been some, you know, little glimpses where I'm like, how do we just climb out of this one? But we always do, and we always get stronger for it. So God bless you guys. Keep crushing. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't be fruity and blow a guy. All right, later.